Neil, sir, my friend. Time for Tuesdays with Neil. Welcome.
As always, it is great to be here. It's another glorious Tuesday in our world. How are you doing?
It is a glorious Tuesday in our world. All right, so let's get to the issue of gambling. It has been raising its head. The NFL policy is, I think, a rather wide-open policy. You can't gamble on NFL games, period. But you can gamble on anything else. You just can't do it in the facility. What part of that is unclear?
I don't know. I honestly don't. Inside NFL facilities, the ones that I have been to anyway, there are placards and notices, and there's all kinds of stuff up that kind of spell out the rules, league rules, union notices, those kinds of things. As easy as it is to try to dunk on the NFL for hypocrisy, I don't think it needs to be explained how betting on NFL games is not something NFL players can do. So put that aside. The second part is the idea that it's hypocritical for the NFL to say, you can gamble on other sports, don't do it on our facility. I don't understand the connection between those two things, nor do I understand the challenge in that. Now, what I've heard, and I'm not able to confirm this, so I'm not going to name names or anything. It's not about this particular instance, but other ones, what I've heard is they got busted because they went outside the facility, went in their car, and didn't realize that their phone was still on the facility's Wi-Fi network. So, right. I can get that. I would hope that there'd be kind of a warning first for that sort of thing. The NFL, though, doesn't have room to breathe, and they're going to have to enforce this as strictly as they've written it up to be enforced upon any violation of it. That said, I would have thought every position coach who keeps contact with their players in the off season, every head coach who does the same, every strength and training coach that they come across if and when they come into the facility, every general manager if necessary, every agent who, in some, depending on their deal, might not get paid if the player doesn't play because of the suspension, they all would have told them, you're going to gamble, do it at home. Anywhere near the facility, and certainly don't bet on the NFL. I would have thought several have taken care of this, but apparently this is a significant problem around the league, and I don't get it. I really don't understand what the problem here is. Nothing to do with hypocrisy. This is basically just follow the rules. These aren't complicated. They're not challenging. This isn't anything that you have to exert special effort to avoid, kind of the way that the dietary supplement issue that blew up a decade and a half ago was. You really have full control over this, and I don't see any excuse for any of them to not be able to follow it, to be honest.
Here's the college rule, Neil, just to let you know how loose the NFL rule is. In college, if you are a gymnast and you decide to place a wager on an NBA game, you're not allowed to because the NCAA sponsors basketball. So you can't bet on a high school basketball game, you can't bet on an NBA game, and obviously you can't bet on a college game because it's a sponsored sport. Now, if you want to go to the racetrack and bet on the horses, sure, because horse racing isn't. That's how strict the NCAA policy is when it comes to this. The NFL, you just can't bet on NFL games, and you just can't do it at work.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of places that might have similar rules set up. The NCAA is as close to you're not allowed to gamble as you could be, I think. So for the NFL, the fact that they're having to readjust all of this, readjust their thinking as they go, because people keep getting picked off and serving pretty significant punishments for it. It it baffles my mind. It really does. The issue that I see it too is all of the coverage of this is talking about how the NFL is wrong for doing this. It's completely acceptable for them to open up, not even directly tied to them, but indirectly, if they're involved in helping lobby to get states to legalize gambling, fine. It's not something that's being done for them specifically. It's just a new stream of legal revenue for them. Of course they're going to get behind that because it's the fans generally who are doing it. They outnumber the professional athletes, believe it or not. There's going to be a lot more fans betting on games. They have to control it internally for obvious reasons. I don't know how far back we need to go, but there was a World Series scandal. There was the NBA scandal from 20, 25 years ago. There's a reason they need to control it. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't be taking sponsorship money from gambling outlets. Two things are completely separate from each other. The player, though, betting at the facility, which I can see it being too close of a tie to the team itself, because what they're probably imagining is like a backroom poker game or something, and I could see why they might want to curb that, especially when it's just don't do it here, okay? You can go home and do it. You can do it at the airport. You can do it at the grocery store. Don't do it here. That's all. It's not hard to follow that, and you really don't have a leg to stand on either. This is not something that you're justified in kicking up a fuss over, in my opinion.
And I agree with you. And this is something. This is something that the NFL, it's by being the big entity, they're the big target. I'm sorry, their policy. There's nothing wrong with their policy. Their policy, to me, is the right policy. It gives the freedom of them to be adults. It just puts the restriction on. Hey, look, right? Work is work. Now I can understand like somebody making a mistake of going in the parking lot. And you're still on the Wi-Fi. Now that part I got. I just go a little further to the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to say you should consider yourself lucky, but at the same time, you don't have to go very far to see what the NCAA is doing. Do you want that? I mean, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense either from the NFL player standpoint. So why don't you just take what you have, follow the rules, and for the sake of the entire organization, just do it the way they're asking you to do it. That's all. Otherwise, this is going to get, the NFL has as big a target on their back as anything else in the United States. They're going to have people coming down. Opponents of gambling are going to come after them for this kind of thing. They have to show that they're doing something about it. So, and the fact that this comes up in June, it's almost as if they wait to release this information now so there's something to talk about. It's a compelling topic. It is interesting because it's new. We don't have a whole lot of experience with it, but the level of controversy that's surrounding it just amazes me. I don't see what's so complicated about it. It's very black and white. You're either in compliance or you're not, and it seems like the only way you could not be in compliance is if you completely and actively disregard what you're supposed to do and do it wrong on purpose.
So that brings us to examples. Wouldn't common sense tell you that the Calvin Ridley situation tells everyone how strict they're going to be about it? Because, he wasn't even playing at the time.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I don't want to suggest conspiracy, but I will say that he was in an excellent position to be a scapegoat. And they had him dead to rights. It's a violation of the rules. It's not uncommon, in my opinion, for the NFL to make a big thing out of the first one. And in a way, you kind of need to do that just to show everybody this is the process, this is how it's going to work. And you want that standing example to be the extreme one, the big one to show everybody, you don't want to be suspended for this amount of time. Follow the rules. And what Ridley did was way too close to what they're trying to prevent, which is any form of association with a bet, a wager, however you want to define it, on an NFL product. They don't want you doing that, and I think it's completely reasonable that they don't want you doing that. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So to have that standing up and then to have each subsequent one coming out, which kind of seems like it might, you know, kind of vary in severity. But to know all of that, to see that, and to either blatantly ignore it or pull the Le'Veon Bell and act as if, oh, I had no idea that was the rule, it just seems silly to me. Le'Veon Bell being the one that told a police officer he wasn't aware that, that he wasn't allowed to drive while he was high. Like, well, I don't know how you missed that. They go over that pretty intensely in driver's ed, and you know, everywhere that you go, it's not something that you're allowed to do. This to me is it's on the same level of that. Like, if you're pleading ignorance to it, I don't think you're going to buy a whole lot of support, but you will get a lot of ridicule for admitting that you don't know something that should be very easily understood by the average person.
How do you view, for example, NFL Red Zone? They do a lot of fantasy football and points at the bottom. And fantasy football, when you're talking about DraftKings, FanDuel, is high stakes as opposed to the neighbors getting together and saying, hey, I drafted my team. How do you view that? And what do you think fantasy football has done to increase viewership of games?
I think, and I feel like I'm outing myself with this. I'm in the minority of people my age, my demographic, that doesn't really play fantasy football. I did, a while ago.
Neil, I have never played fantasy football. Never. I've been asked so many times, and I've always said, nah, I don't feel like doing it.
Yeah, it's kind of a standard question that you get. What's your fantasy team looking like? Not even do you play. It's really just kind of a standard thing. I view it a couple different ways, and I think those two questions intersect. I follow it because I need to know about it for the sake of my job. I'm not particularly interested in it. Maybe it's because I have to do it for work. It doesn't excite me. I'm also not a big bettor. I don't really get into that. The presence of that form of game, and states still debate whether it's gambling or not, it seems pretty clear that it fits under the general umbrella of gambling.
Yes.
Certainly the daily fantasy. It's brought a completely different perspective of football to the viewing audience. Now, point one that I would make is this is really why it's justified for the NFL to do what they're doing, because the fans are the ones playing these games. It's not meant for the players. You know, it's always a funny bit you get in training camp when they're not talking about anything else. Where would you draft you on your fantasy team? Oh, I'd take me number one overall, that whole thing. Whether they're actively playing or not, I don't know. I have no clue. But clearly, they're not allowed to do that. They weren't allowed to do it then, and they're not allowed to do it now. It's not about the players; it's about the fans watching the product. They're allowed to do it, so why shouldn't the NFL be involved with that? It's brought people who aren't necessarily interested in the team. And I say this, you're poking fun. I don't mean anything against the lovely fan base, the Houston Texans, but kind of hard to root for that team over the last 20, 30 years. The Jaguars. What if they really aren't into the team that's in their market, or they're more into the players of the league, which is really a modern, younger person perspective of sports. They're going to get into daily fantasy. They're going to get into their fantasy team. If they're watching the product, if they're consuming it because of fantasy, and call that gambling if you want, that's great as far as the NFL is concerned. They're doing it responsibly. They have avenues to do that legally. Then great, good for them. Catering to that in the red zone only makes sense. If by product they are talking about relevant information to the people who are watching. And I'm a two-screen guy plus the computer. I've got a game on. I've got red zone on, and I'm probably watching another game on my computer. Putting all of that together, if I had fantasy interest, I think Red Zone would make a lot more sense. For me, I just like to know where each team is and everything, just to get a sense of what's going on in the league. Red Zone is probably built more for the fantasy user, but sure, it fits well with the game that you're watching. It fits well with the experience, and that's why it's so popular. You know, they go hand in hand. So I think there's a natural value that comes with it from a fan's perspective. and they're going to continue to watch it. It's very popular. Scott Hansen does a great job. He's a very well-liked,
oh, yeah,
very popular guy.
Yes, he does.
Media. It's fun to watch. He makes it enjoyable, and you get to see a lot more football. For me, I'm you know, kind of a one game guy. I like to watch, you know, football be played. That's just me. But I totally get that there are people that might not be interested in kind of the somewhat slow nature of a football game that you aren't emotionally invested in. So I don't think there's any issue with it. I definitely get why people would want to do it. And fantasy is a massive business on its own. It's probably a $1 billion industry just from the NFL's perspective. So I get why they're doing what they're doing. I definitely don't see a reason why it wouldn't continue.
Well, yeah, I understand that. That answers, you know, spot on as how I feel about it. I always have one question for fantasy people. I guess you're allowed to pick a defense. I said, what happens on the day where that defense is facing your team? I said, how do you root in the game?
And I always get these like fantasy.
I get all these, or the player that you're playing. Oh, it turns out I've got Lamar Jackson. He's playing the Steelers.
Exactly.
Okay. How are you viewing this game?
some people view it as a win-win. You're getting something out of that game either way. I see it as a lose-lose because it's like, right, I'm either losing in fantasy or the team that I follow is losing. I don't really like that. I'd rather not have two outcomes. just right, give me the one. I don't want to root for Lamar Jackson. All due respect to him. I don't want to say, well, the Steelers lost, but at least the Ravens defense did well. That sounds worse to me, in fact, than just the Steelers losing. So to me, it's not a hedge that makes any sense. I get why people do that, though. It just, usually I tell them, don't tell me. I don't care about your fantasy team.
I mean, that's the part that always cracks me up. I go, excuse me, how conflicted are you today? Well, I mean, I need to do well, but I need my team to win. I said, can't you do what I do, just relax and watch the game?
Yeah, like go get some chips, you know, go take a walk. It's too much, you know, and maybe that's a question of investment, and maybe the younger generation is much more invested in something else that I'm not into the same way that, you know, I'm invested in something they're not. There's a middle ground there, at the very least, that our Sundays during the NFL season have a good amount of investment. So there's plenty to go around, you know. That's why the NFL is as popular as it is. It took them probably a little bit longer than it should have to get into fantasy, because I was big into fantasy when I was a kid.
Sure.
You can get the newspaper and tabulate the scores yourself. I was a big fan of that, but my investment is with the product itself, and it's a smaller market, but we're strong. We're proud. Mm-hmm. We want to watch football. We don't really, you know, care about points that are scored outside of the game that's on the field.
Never a gamble to have Tuesdays with Neil. Sir, thank you.
Definitely. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to next week already.
You got it already. Thanks, my friend. Neil Coulong joining us.